And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by the Ford F-Series. He is Bucky Brooks. I am Daniel Jeremiah. And Bucky, one of our three shows of the week. We keep you busy here, Move the Sticks, but I think this might be the best show we've got all week. I'm pumped about this one.
Oh, this is absolutely a five-star show. We have so much content that we're going to cover. We're going to talk about the game of the week breakdowns, Chargers and the Pats, Texans versus the Seahawks, ranking the top 10 players from the 2016 draft, which is always fun, and then the scariest players on offense and defense to game plan again.
And we've got our college picks, which – breaking news, I suck at, but today I'm going to do better. I promise I'm going to do better.
Come on.
Before we get to all that, though, we got a little bit of breaking news. Recently just came down the extension for Telvin Smith, the linebacker, explosive linebacker out of Florida State for the Jags, who's been an outstanding find for them. I thought a very wise move. 4 years, $44 million. Lock him up.
You have to lock him up. This has been one of their best players over the past 4 years. He is a terrific, instinctive, and explosive playmaker. And we've talked about the Jacksonville Jaguars, and one of the reasons why they're kind of creeping into contention has been their ability to really land gems amongst that front seven. They have it. This is a homegrown product, a guy that they drafted, developed. You have to make sure you secure his services because there are a lot of teams that would have been interested in a young playmaker like that.
Yeah, leading the league in sacks, we give a lot of credit to Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue and all the boys they got up front. But this linebacking group, one of the fastest, one of the youngest, one of the most explosive groups in the NFL. And Telvin Smith, I think, would have fetched a king's ransom on the open market as a free agent. This was a wise move.
Wise move by them to lock it up. This is a team that I think is going to be in the mix the next 4 or 5 years just because their defense is good enough. They can fix the things on offense. They're going to have a chance.
All right, let's jump in now. We got games of the week here. Chargers, Patriots. This is a 1 o'clock game, Eastern CBS. When you're looking at the Chargers side of this football game, Buck, the absolute must in this game, the key to the game if the Chargers are going to go to Foxborough and get a win.
Anytime you're dealing with the New England Patriots, you know offensively you have to score points. So this makes it a shootout, a duel between Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady. And what I want to see from Phillip Rivers is, can he continue to get this offense going? And I know we have Melvin Gordon and we want to run the ball, we want to have better balance, but at the end of the day, the ball is going to be in Phillip Rivers' hands, and Phillip Rivers has to make good decisions. He can't have those turnovers that allow the Patriots to benefit from short fields. He has to find a way to attack a secondary that has been vulnerable early in the year, see if he can push the ball deep, get some big plays, because if they're able to get big plays, I think they are going to stay in the game because I think their defense is good enough to keep them in it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Phillip Rivers does in this ballgame. Almost kind of taking the ball out of his hands a little bit the last couple weeks. Play great defense and run the football. We'll see what he can do in a big shootout there against Tom Brady. I'm going to go to the defensive line here for the Chargers and say they need to absolutely dominate this game at the point of attack. And I think when you look at Joey Bosa and you watch a tape of him and see what he's capable of, there's no question in my mind this is a matchup that favors the Chargers. You see Joey Bosa here working against the Denver Broncos, Buck, and this has been something that he's done throughout his young career. He's been a major problem. You're going to see him big ball a block. What do you mean by that? They're going to try and cut him. He gets his hands down, stays off the ground, gets pressure on Simeon. Now he loses balance, but great players don't stay on the ground long. Pops right back up and gets a sack. Now you're going to see not only do the sacks matter, it's can you affect the quarterback? This is kind of his classic little swipe, little rip move to get outside pressure on Trevor Siemian. Touch his elbow, affect the flight of the ball. It should have been an interception. It was dropped by the Chargers. But Joey Bosa is a game plan wrecker, and he can get after this group with the New England Patriots. They're not great up front, Buck, and he's going to be a problem.
Yeah, he's going to be a problem. He and Melvin Ingram. Melvin Ingram with 8.5 sacks. Joey Bosa with 7.5. The L.A. Chargers can come at you in a variety of ways. They got fastball pitches on both edges. And so they're going to have to challenge Tom Brady. They got to get him off his spot. They can't allow him to really throw from what I call that grassy knoll where he can throw on time and get it to anybody on the perimeter. I need Joey Bosa to have a big game. And Melvin Ingram also has to compliment him in that vein. If they do that, they should have a chance.
All right, let's flip it over to the Patriots side, the key to them winning this ballgame.
For the Patriots, it's all about their defense playing well and really the back end, the secondary playing well. And when I think about playing well, it's not about the yards they can see. They can't give up the big plays, the field-flipping plays that they were giving up before. And a lot of times, it's not necessarily the talent. It's really communication. We saw the Carolina Panthers give them problem with bunch routes. We've seen other teams stack and put two and three receivers close together and then really force the Patriots to communicate. Those miscommunications were leaving receivers running wide open. If the Patriots can solve that riddle, continue to play better, do a good job of communicating, but more importantly, keeping the ball in front of the defense, they'll have a chance. Force the Chargers to kick threes, not score seven. If they do that, they're going to win the game.
Yeah, and you see example of it in a lot of the plays we just showed, Buck. A lot of these aren't, you know, physical beats. These are just mental busts, lack of communication, turning guys loose. You cannot do that against the Chargers in this ballgame. I think the key, though, if they can slow down Melvin Gordon, you talked about Phillip Rivers needing to have a big day. I think if they can stop the running game of the Chargers and make them one-dimensional, put the ball in Phillip Rivers' hands, I think at this point in time in his career, I think he can get a couple from Phillip. I think he'll get a little bit frustrated. I think he'll force some things, and you can get your hands on the football. You've got, though, to find a way to slow down Melvin Gordon. That's just not running the football. I like to get him the ball out in space a little bit, some screen game. You'll see him out of the backfield working in the passing game. That, to me, is the game plan. You circle Melvin Gordon, you take him away.
Yeah, you absolutely – if you're the Patriots, you want to make it a one-dimensional game. You want to really put this on Phillip Rivers, and you want to put it on Phillip Rivers when everyone knows that he has to throw. Look, he's a gunslinger. He's going to go down making those tight window throws. At the end of the day, it comes down to Phillip Rivers being able to avoid the turnovers. The last three games, six touchdowns, zero interceptions – one interception, rather. That gives them an opportunity to win. The Patriots have to take away Melvin Gordon.
Sounds to me like you might be leaning to the Chargers here.
I am leaning towards the Chargers. I think the Chargers, wow. This is a statement game for them to go on the road, to go to Foxborough and get a win. It would say a lot. I believe at the end of the year, the Chargers will be the best team in the AFC West. This would go a long way to bring them back to 4-4, give them a chance to make a stretch run and play some meaningful games.
You're going
to
hear from the Chiefs fans. I'm just telling you that right now. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I say at home. I think this is something the Patriots do every year. They struggle a little bit. They have some issues. They figure them out. They self-correct, and I think they've done that already. I think they get a big win here in this ballgame. All right, Buck. Texans at the Seahawks. Sunday, this is a 4:05 Eastern CBS. Let's start here with the Texans' key to the ballgame.
I think the key to this game for the Texans is to be balanced. They need to be balanced on offense, meaning they need to really lean on that running game. When I look at the teams that have had the best success against Seattle, it's when they've been able to run right at them. The game's 2 and 3 early in the year. We saw the San Francisco 49ers run for 159 yards. The Tennessee Titans ran for almost 195 yards. So to me, the magic number in this game is 30. I want to see a combined 30 carries between Lamar Miller and Deontay Foreman. If those guys get 30 or more carries, it means that they are having the kind of success on the ground that they want. More importantly, they're not putting too much on Deshaun Watson. I don't want the rookie to have to throw the ball 35, 40 times against the legend of Boom.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Deshaun Watson because that gets me to my point and the key for the Texans. And to me, that's just him maintaining his poise. And this is something that he demonstrated in college when they were on the big stage. We've seen it so far early in his NFL career. Tremendous poise. And when you go and look at the tape, Buck, I can find examples of that poise. It's being able to recognize what you see, to be able to cash it in when you get big play opportunities. This game against the Cleveland Browns, he sees a too high safety look. Great route against that. You're going to have a corner route at the top of the screen. You see the safety rotate even more to the middle of the field. He's got to read that corner and just make sure the corner does not sink too deep underneath this corner route. He doesn't. Holds the safety with his eyes, and he's got a layup touchdown here down the field to Will Fuller. That's cashing in when you get the opportunities. But to me, it's even some of the subtle things that he does. You see a boot here against the Browns. You're going to see a free rusher, a blitzer, secondary blitzer coming off the edge because they think this is what's coming. So they're scheming to stop it. If he continues on the boot, he's either going to take a sack or he's going to have to throw the ball at the feet of the tight end. Instead, he buys time, he retreats, gets it over the blitzer, and you get a positive play. So the poise of Watson has been outstanding thus far. But when you go into Seattle, I think it's the toughest environment to go play in, especially at the quarterback position. You're not going to hear anything with the noise there. You've got a fast, explosive defense coming at you. To me, can he maintain that poise will be key in this one.
I mean, it'd be critical, and I know he's played in a bunch of big games in college, but going to that environment up in Seattle is like nothing that he's ever seen in the National Football League. So it'd be very, very critical for him to maintain his composure. That's why we talk about the running game. Try to keep him in manageable situations so he doesn't necessarily have to face the Seahawks at their best when they can pin their ears back and go after
him. Let's flip it over then. Seahawks, what do they need to do in this one to get the win?
Whenever you think about Seattle, it's always about their offensive line. That has been the weakness of their team for years. they have to play well. More importantly, they have to stop number 90 for the Houston Texans. They have to keep Russell Wilson upright and clean in the pocket. If they're able to keep him upright, he can have an opportunity to attack some of these guys down the field. They have their weapons in tow, Paul Richardson and Doug Baldwin. Jimmy Graham can make plays. If they can protect, I think Russell Wilson will like some of the matchups down the field, but it's all about keeping number 90 for making those kind of hits on him in the pocket.
Yeah, and if the ball goes down on the ground, he's going to palm it, he's going to take it, and he's probably going to find a way to score. So I agree with you. You got to keep Clowney away from Russell Wilson. That's a big key. To me, though, when I look at this Seattle team, and let's go to the secondary here. Got the great nickname, the Legion of Boom. You got so many great players there. But as I look at the paper, and I see right now, Buck, this team has 4 interceptions right now. 2 of them are not secondary players. Their 2 picks, Earl Thomas and Justin Coleman. Pete Carroll preaches, Buck.
It's all about the ball.
It's all about the ball. That's his famous line. They've gotten their hands on footballs they haven't finished. I think when you look at this secondary, they've got to get a couple in this game against Deshaun Watson. It's all about the ball. Seattle's got to find a way to finish in that secondary.
They have to find a way to finish. With Deshaun Watson, he has been so effective by taking care of the football for a young quarterback. But you want to harass those receivers. When I look back at Deshaun Watson's struggles, the toughest game that he had this year, I think, was against Kansas City, and Kansas City played a lot of man coverage. They took away the layups, and they made him make tight window throws. The Seattle Seahawks would do something similar. A lot of man coverage, a lot of single high safety. They will dare Deshaun Watson to make these mailbox throws that you've talked about. Let's see if he can deliver down after down, or if you give them a couple turnovers off tips and overthrows because the coverage is so tight.
All right, let's pick some winners here. Who do you like?
I'm going to go with Seattle in that environment at home. The Seahawks are just so tough to beat. I'm going to go with Seattle.
I hate to doubt Deshaun Watson, but I'm going to go with Seattle as well on this one. I think their defense does get their hands on some footballs. They generate some turnovers, and they end up winning this one. All right, Buck, for game picks, we got a show for you. If you enjoy picking games, we got one for you.
Oh, podcast pick 'em. Got
it. NFL Pick'em.
Man, podcast Pick'em is the
That's old school. That's new
NFL
school.
Pick'em. There you see all the featured podcasts, DDFP, around the NFL, our Move the Sticks, and Game Theory and Money. We all contribute Pick'em. There you see it. Saturday, 8, 3, and 11. Sunday at 6 a.m.
One of the more interesting storylines this season has been the turnaround of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Buck. When we talk about the Steelers, we always talk about their 3 Bs. Look at Le'Veon Bell, Big Ben, and you look at Antonio Brown. But when I look at the turnaround, I've got 3 P's, the reason for that turnaround. You see them here, power, patience, and presence. I'll explain in a minute. But first of all, tell me what you see when you look at the numbers, weeks 1 through 5 versus weeks 6 and 7.
Well, weeks 1 through 5, this is a team that really didn't stick to their identity. You see, they were getting less than 20 points per game, too many giveaways. But the last 2 games, the last 2 weeks, we're seeing the Steelers that we know and love. The biggest thing that stands out to me, the rush yards per game, 173. It means that the Steelers have turned to number 26, Lev Bell, to be the focal point of the offense. Everyone else is complimenting that, but the offense is thriving as a result.
All right, I want to get to the tape here and tell you what I mean by the patience, the power, and the presence, because you can just look at this game against the Cincinnati Bengals, and when you break it down, you saw those first games, a lot of turnovers from Ben. This is about the patience. You want to rush 4 and drop 7? I'm going to take the check down all day long to Le'Veon Bell, and good things happen when you get 26 the ball. You're going to get a big chunk play there by him, and you see some of the physical presence to go ahead and finish right there. Another example, rushing 4, dropping 7. You're going to see this matchup one-on-one with a middle linebacker in space. Instead of Ben trying to force the ball into double coverage down the field where you've got brackets, he's going to dump the ball off to Lev Bell, let him break a tackle, and then see a nasty stiff arm and get out in the open field, and you got a 40-plus yard gain on a simple check down. That's the patience that I'm talking about. Now, when you look at the power, you mentioned the running game, Buck, and what they've done. Don't be discouraged by a box count. They've got 9 in the box here for the Cincinnati Bengals. Don't worry about it. Steelers are in 2 tight ends. They got a fullback. You get a nice combo block by the tight end, nice kick-out block by DeCastro, and a very physical cut lead block by the fullback. That's a physical brand of football we're used to seeing from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you got the patience. Now you've got the power. And now I just talk about the presence of Antonio Brown. I don't care what the box score says. He has an impact each and every play. You see the safety being drawn to bracket him down the field. And Juju Smith-Schuster, before he can do that fancy hide-and-seek routine after the touchdown, he gets left naked down the middle of the field because the safety vacated to double-team Antonio Brown. So power, patience, presence, these Steelers are rolling.
The Steelers are absolutely rolling. And that you know, noticeably, we didn't see Martavis Bryant, and we won't see him this weekend. But I think the big thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers is continue to stick to the recipe. The recipe has been a lot of Le'Veon Bell early. Make sure Antonio Brown gets his touches. Sprinkle in a little Juju Smith-Schuster, and that has worked well for the Pittsburgh Steelers. As long as they stick to this formula, this blueprint, I think they are going to be one of the more feared teams in the AFC.
Yeah, they've got it going. Steelers are in a really good spot right now, and you look at the way the Browns are a complete mess. The Ravens have not been good.
They don't have enough weapons to compete.
And the Bengals, when I look at their roster, I don't think the sum is as good as individual parts. They've got some good players, just haven't got it completely figured out yet. All right, you know Halloween's coming up Tuesday, right? So we're going to have a little fun here. Scariest players to game plan against. Look at this. We got a little fancy.
How about a graphic?
How about some music? Oh, yeah. Due to copyright, this is not the Addams Family, but it's very eerily similar to the Addams Family.
Ooh. How about that?
I think we should save this music for when I make my college picks, but that's just me. Offensive players to game plan against, Buck, the absolute scariest. Who are they?
We're going to start with the GOAT. Tom Brady, he is the best in the biz. He deserves to be on this list because – no matter what you do, he has already seen it. He finds a way to consistently deliver the kind of production that you expect from a quarterback. He is a franchise quarterback. He is the epitome of what a franchise quarterback does. No matter what is around him, he finds a way to move the offense. The best that I've ever seen. Gets the ball out quicker than anybody at the position. And because he gets it out so quick and because he's so accurate, I really don't know how you defense him. He keeps defensive coordinators up all night trying to come up with plans to slow him down.
Yeah, I think scary indeed. I remember being with teams, notably with the Ravens, when we'd have that week against New England Patriots. And as a young guy, you were in that office all day and all night. And I remember saying, man, this defensive staff, they haven't left yet, huh? Like, oh, it's Tom Brady this week. Got to stay a little longer. Same thing for Peyton Manning when he was rolling. All right, that's a good one. Who's another one?
Le'Veon Bell. You just saw the clips that you broke down in terms of his patience, his power, his ability to really make things happen. That is why he's there. Le'Veon Bell said something early in the offseason that kind of made people snicker, but he is right. He is the rare combination of skills where he is really a number one running back and a number two receiver, and you just don't see that combination in one guy. He can run inside and outside with power and authority, has some finesse, but he can line up outside and play wide receiver. When you have someone that is that versatile, that dynamic, he's really an unstoppable force, and we've seen the last two or three seasons. He has been an unstoppable force in the league, continues to be that way today.
I know in the AFC North, he's definitely viewed as scary. All right, you get one more here for your top three scariest offensive players to game plan against.
This is a bit of a surprise, but I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill from the Kansas City Chiefs. And one of the reasons Tyreek Hill deserves to be on the list, he can impact the game in three ways. As a runner, returner, and a receiver. We have seen him on trick plays, take it to the house, on jet sweeps, on handoffs. We've seen him go over the top of the defense, like on some of these vertical plays that we're seeing now. And then in the kick game, and the return game, he is a scary guy to defend. When you think about the Kansas City Chiefs, mission number one is to stop Tyreek Hill and not let him throw up the deuces because that means he's on his way to a score.
That is a good group there. You got three scary offensive players. I'm going to go to the defensive side of the ball, though. I'm going to make a request, though, behind the glass. Can I get the scary music to roll throughout the whole thing? I'd like to let it roll. You can lower the volume if you want, but I like hearing that when I'm talking scary players. Number one, Joey Bosa. You want a game plan against Joey Bosa? Good luck, because Bosa can line up outside. You can kick him inside to a three technique. The effort is ridiculous. You can't game plan for that. He never stops coming. He can take over and dominate a football game. What do you think, Buck?
I mean, he's absolutely one of the best pass rushers that we've seen in this league. He dominates. He gets better and better. Then he has a partner on the other side that allows him to get one-on-one matchups. Joey Bosa is a monster off the edge.
I do kind of feel like I'm on a merry-go-round right now, and I'm enjoying that here with the music. Let's go. Aaron Donald, number two on the list. Had the holdout. They've got him back in the lineup, Buck, and now you're starting to see week after week get a little more confident, a little more comfortable. And he's a game plan wrecker. You can't block him one-on-one, and they scheme-wise can get him one-on-one. No interior lineman in the league can handle Aaron Donald.
No, nobody on the inside can handle Aaron Donald. He's been one of the more disruptive forces at the position. He does a great job of making plays in the quarterback's face. And when you think about it, when you're a quarterback, the scariest pressure comes right up the middle. Aaron Donald, number 99, consistently delivers that kind of disruption at the point of attack.
Yeah, he is a stud. I feel like I definitely feel like I'm on a merry-go-round here. I can go up and down on my seat here.
Woo! I feel like I need a little cotton candy.
I feel like I should be on a horse right now. This is great. Last one for me, Khalil Mack. Every time you put together an advanced scouting report for the Oakland Raiders, that is a name you circle because he can ruin it for you. He not only can get home, when he gets home, he likes to get the ball out as well. He can take over a football game by himself.
He absolutely can take over the game by himself. We have seen him win with an assortment of power moves coming from that defensive left that really makes it hard for right-handed quarterbacks to see. Khalil Mack, the reigning defensive player of the year, continues to get better. He is a force, a terror off the edge.
Terror, good Halloween word. Can we do that laugh, that creepy laugh as well? Do we have that? That is awesome.
Ghouls and goblins.
It's called the Jerry Helm evil laugh. They have names for screams now.
Hats off to Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry, whoever he is in his laugh.
All right, let's go back in time a little bit here, Buck.
Come on, man. You know I love going back.
Let's get in the DeLorean. Let's go back to 2016.
That's not that far back.
No, look, this is a draft class. When we were leading up to it, we thought, maybe not a lot of sex appeal here. But looking back on it, and you can start at the very top as we throw it to Commissioner Goodell, turns out it's been pretty darn good.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California. With the second pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Carson Wentz, quarterback, North Dakota State.
Well, it turns out there were two franchise quarterbacks, plus another franchise quarterback we'll get to in a minute here. But here's how it shook out, the top 10 picks of that draft. Tell us what we got here, Buck.
Jared Goff at 1, Carson Wentz at 2, Joey Bosa at 3. Man, Ezekiel Elliott, Jalen Ramsey. You could say that the top 5, all those guys will be perennial Pro Bowl players. We can continue to talk about them competing. Stanley, DeForest Buckner, Jim Conklin, Leonard Floyd, and Eli Apple at 10. Look, there are no notable misses in that top 10, and that is rare. All of these guys have had some success in their career right up the gate.
Well, I hate redrafts. I don't like trying to assign.
No redos?
No, well, trying to assign players to teams, I think that's kind of goofy because you don't know who they have on their team at that time. It gets messy. But I do like going back and re-ranking guys personally. And so this would be mine looking at the draft now, a year and a half later. I would go Carson Wentz number 1 in this group. Dak Prescott, well, obviously the steal of this draft, would be number 2, Bosa 3, Elliott 4, Ramsey 5, Goff 6, Jordan Howard, second in the league in rushing last year, would be number 7.
Jordan Howard is
a
top 10
list.
Player. Wow.
Based off what
Jordan Howard?
Miles Jack and what he's brought to the table this year healthy, he's been outstanding. Tyreek Hill, your guy at 9, and Michael Thomas, 90-plus catches, is on track to have another good year this year. So if I was doing it right now based off what they've done, those would be my top 10. But I mean, you get your own top 10.
I mean,
go ahead.
I can't dispute that list. Michael Thomas, I feel like Michael Thomas grinded on you a little bit.
He hit me hard.
You throw him a bone. I mean, is there – oh, my list, my board.
Oh, I'm looking here at Carson Wentz, Buck. We're showing a little tape here of my number one guy. And he, to me, is in the MVP. He's in the MVP discussion. If he's not the favorite, he's one of the two or three guys right
Absolutely.
There at the top. I mean, to me, you look at the Eagles, the way they're built right now, it's all about building around him. Get some more offensive line depth next year, continue to add weapons around him. But they've got a perennial Pro Bowl player at the quarterback position. That's why I had him at number 1. I get to highlight a couple more guys on my list here. Miles Jack came in at number 8. Based off last year, he wouldn't be in this top 10 list. But now that we're seeing him comfortable, healthy, and playing significant snaps for the Jags, he's the same guy we saw at UCLA.
He is the same guy we saw at UCLA. And it's funny, he would have been a top 3 or top 4 pick prior to that injury that he suffered at UCLA. He's one of the guys that we always talked about in that class. He is now living up to the hype.
Yeah, he was actually, I think, number 2 on my sequence list coming into the draft. Fell into the second round for those injury concerns. And Mike Thomas, we joked about him wearing on us a little bit. He was not happy with where he was rated. Went in the second round, and he's turned out to be a perfect fit for Drew Brees in the system. He's ultra productive. I think he's a number 1. I don't think he's just a possession guy. He's capable of winning on third down and in the red zone. That's how I look at a number 1 receiver. He's been outstanding, so he was number 10 on my list. But let's get to your list now, Buck. I got a chance to break down mine. What do you got?
Okay, so when we go to my list, it's a little flip at the top. I have Ezekiel Elliott, number 1. I mean, you talk about the guy led the league in rushing. He deserves to be up there. Joey Bosa, Dak Prescott at 3, Carson Wentz 4, Jalen Ramsey, Jared Goff, Tyreek Hill, Miles Jack, Leonard Floyd, and then threw in a tight end for you, Hunter Henry, who has played very well for the L.A. Chargers.
Little splash there. Well, who you want to break down this? I'm a number 1. Let's start with number 1, Ezekiel Elliott.
Oh, Ezekiel Elliott. Look, he's been in the conversation as the best running back in the league, and I think it's hard to dispute those who really support him and support his case. Look, leading rusher as a rookie last year, I know we can talk about the offensive line being able to do so many things, but what we're seeing is this guy is special. He's fantastic running the ball. He can catch the ball on the perimeter, and he continues to get better and better. We saw the explosive plays that he delivered even last week there against the San Francisco 49ers. Talented player. I thought he was the best player in the draft. I continue to think so. He's going.
Yeah, he's look, I can't argue with that. He's been outstanding. And you're going to stay with the star here to break down number three on your list. You got Dak over Carson Wentz here on a little regrade.
I mean, I do. I have Dak Prescott. I know that is a bit of a controversy because there's so much Carson Wentz love going this week after that spectacular performance, and rightfully so, on Monday night. But I think we need to remember what Dak Prescott has done in his career. 22 career games. 15 times he's posted a passer rating over 100. He is a guy that, look, guided the Cowboys, I mean, kind of surprisingly, to the playoffs. They won a division. He continues to play well. We look for the sophomore slump. We haven't seen that from him thus far. I think Dak Prescott is a true franchise quarterback. He needs a little more love.
Yeah, this is bad news for the Giants if they're watching this, by the way, seeing all these good young players.
Oh, Philadelphia. Eli's the worst quarterback in the division.
Philadelphia,
absolutely.
Dallas. All right, that's you got number three. As I recall, though, Buck, number five on your list right now, Jalen Ramsey was your dude. That was your number one guy.
He is my dude.
Number five, a little low.
It is a little low, but I had to slot him in there somewhere. I had to give the offense a little more love. But Jalen Ramsey is absolutely everything that we thought he would be. I likened him to Charles Woodson when he entered the league in terms of his versatility, his toughness, his football IQ, and he is playing to that level of expectation. Big-time playmaker, part of the reason the Jaguars' defense is really flourishing. He and A.J. Boye on the corner, they lock him down, two of the best lockdown corners that we've seen in the league.
Can't argue. What a good-looking draft. We'll see. Let's look back on this another year or two down the road. We'll see if it changes. But early returns right now, year and a half in, 2016 looks like a pretty special
draft. It looks special. It looks almost as special as that 2011 draft that we talk about with J.J. Watt and Patrick Peterson. And
A.J. Green and all those dudes.
We're seeing a lot of kind of five-star talents emerge out of this class.
Yeah, no question. All right, let's get to my least favorite part of the show, college picks.
Come on, man, you got to love it. Embrace it.
Yeah, that's what was the name of that scream again?
That was the Robin Helm scream.
Ooh, can Different I go back one. To the other scream?
You want the Jerry Helm scream?
Yeah, I like the Jerry.
Yeah,
that's how I feel. That's my college picks. look at the leaderboard. Last week, Kent and Sully 11-1 behind the glass continue to just dominate us in these college picks. It's really discouraging. Me and you, Buck, same, 8-4. So right now, I think overall, what am I, a game out of third place? I choose to say a game out of first place versus 12 games out of first place. I'm a game out of third place, so that's what I'm hunting you down. You got me by one right now.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
I think I can reel you in this week.
You might be able to.
Actually,
I'm going to take some chances.
I suck at this, but I'm getting better. I'm telling you, this is my week. All right, let's get to the two-point game here. Penn State, Ohio State, two-point special. Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at it. Buck, you've got – go ahead. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Penn State. I saw Penn State. They were very impressive last week. I know it's going to be tough for them to come back after playing Michigan, but this is a big game. This is a game for Saquon Barkley to really secure his legacy and his candidacy as a Heisman Trophy candidate. He needs to come up and step up big. I think he does. I'm going with Penn State.
The rest of you guys all went Penn State, which means
– You're the lone wolf. That's your guy, JT Barrett.
Lone wolf. Look, JT Barrett, good college quarterback. He's just don't turn the ball over, JT. We're going to be fine.
And he has it's Ohio last State three or four defense. Games.
Yeah, he's played solid. He's a good college player. And I think this defense for Ohio State is going to be the best group that Penn State has seen. And I think Ohio State gets it done. Buck, coming into the shoe, that ain't easy. I'm going with Ohio State. Two-pointer. That'll get me right back in the mix.
That might get you
a lone wolf. All right, NC State at Notre Dame. Man, this is a great matchup in the trenches. Notre Dame, I think, maybe the best offensive line in college football. NC State, maybe the best defensive line in college football.
You know, in looking at NC State, I studied their quarterback, Finley, yesterday, and they do a great job of taking care of the ball. They don't turn it over. They make you beat them. They make you earn it. And I think it's going to be a challenge for Notre Dame to move the football. Notre Dame is going to run the ball. They're going to have to just stick with it. Brandon Wimbush is playing really well. Adams is running the ball fairly effectively. But look, it doesn't matter what I think and what I say on the film. It's North Carolina State. I'm never going to
pick them.
So I'm going with Notre Dame. Let's go Irish.
You just gave every reason why NC State is going to win this game, and then you can't pick them.
It's personal.
Kent is going to go with NC State. I'm going to go Notre Dame as well. So Kent's the lone wolf on that one. I'm sure Kent, the way he's been rolling, he'll pick up another game on us here.
Lone wolf in the wolf pack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's we like
double wolf.
That's a double wolf. Sad wolf for Kent.
Oh, God. I hate
Oklahoma State at West Virginia. Buck, who you like?
Man, it's all about the quarterback play.
Mason, Will Grier.
Mason Rudolph versus Will Grier. Will Grier is a guy that has really come on like gangbusters. He's thrown the ball very, very well. Watched him on tape last night. And I'm just really, really impressed at the things that he is doing, getting the ball outside, particularly to the wide receivers that they have. I know Oklahoma
David
State
Sills
is coming off a big win at Texas. I'm going West Virginia.
Whew, and you're going to have to hear that soundbite one more time.
Oh, Lone Wolf, let's go.
Because the rest of us are going with Okie State on the road. To
I don't know why you guys are going with Oklahoma State.
They got a bunch of wideouts. They got a quarterback that can get hot.
They have more wideouts than they know what
That's
to
what
do
like.
With.
It's a shootout. It's a high-scoring game. And West Virginia, this goes back to me, I believe it was last year, buying into West Virginia when Oklahoma, I think, came rolling into town, and Oklahoma just beat the brakes off them.
That was one of the colder games, too.
I haven't forgiven them since that. All right, let's move on here. Number four, TCU at Iowa State. And truth be told, first of all, who do you got here?
I'm going with Trill. Kenny Hill has been playing out of his mind quietly. No one is talking about the kid. The quarterback from TCU is doing a really, really good job getting the ball to the playmakers. I believe he leads the Horned Frogs to a win.
Everybody else likes TCU as well. I'm going to tell you exactly how it came to my pick. These games like this one where I don't have a great feeling either way, I went to the coin flip. I did. I'm going to be straight up. Went to the coin flip because I haven't been lucky on any of these, so I'm going to let fate take place here.
And desperate times call for desperate measures.
It went Lone Wolf, Iowa State. Yeah. So I'm thinking if I get the two-pointer as a Lone Wolf, I come back and win this Iowa State TCU game. Oh, could be a big week for me, or I'm going to be down a ton. Georgia Tech at Clemson. Come on, Bucky.
What?
Really?
Syracuse beat them.
Where was that game? What day of the week was that game?
It doesn't matter. Syracuse beat them.
Clemson coming off of a bye, I believe. Is Clemson coming off of a bye behind the glass? Can I get confirmation?
They need to come off a bye because when you're dealing with that triple option, it's a problem.
Two weeks to prepare for this option.
As Sully can attest.
Tennessee can't stop a nosebleed.
Here's what you have to understand. Georgia Tech has always given Clemson problems. They just have a tough time with that triple option. And I just believe as they run this, and Paul Johnson digs out there with, if you notice, he doesn't have a play sheet. It's all off the top of the dome. He's going to find a way to
need a play sheet when you have four calls, dude.
What are you talking about?
Midline. Like, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Did you see?
Triple option out this.
Left. Remember the Titans? It's like Novocaine.
That's right.
It's like Novocaine. This wears you down.
Wears you down.
All right, Buck, you're going solo on that. I got Clemson, as does everybody else behind the glass here. So, Georgia Tech wins. I owe you a phone call and an apology.
Come on.
Washington State at Arizona. No Lone Wolf here. We're split 2-2. Bucky, you like the Fighting Luke Falks on the road here?
I'm gonna go with them. I'm just banking on this.
You haven't switched any of your picks. Normally, you switch a pick.
Nope. The experience, Luke Falk. I'm saying he bounces back, continues to build upon the momentum created last week. I think they get it done. And if not, I know that Mike Leach will get those guys in order because he
get them up downs.
Doing up downs.
Give some up downs.
Up downs in the middle of the game. I like that. I think I'm going to add that to my philosophy.
I like that. Get the players to really hate you.
Watch out, Notre Dame High School. Some up downs are coming during the game.
I'm going Khalil Tate. Nobody stopped him yet since he's taken over the job here at Arizona, running all over people at the quarterback position. Rich Rod has his guy, and Rich Rod got a little feel, a little flow now with this offense.
Rich Rod is the fifth highest paid coach.
5'7"? Is that what he's like? 5.7?
Woo-hoo! Rich Rod.
Rich Rod.
I'll let your boy.
Nicely done.
Heitem brought up, is Michigan still paying him? Like,
jeez.
Oh, that's that. Right? That's that. They went to the Fiesta Bowl and he cashed that thing in, man.
Woo. Man, 5 minutes.
Good for him. I've got Arizona. Sully, Washington State, Kent, Arizona. So we're a little split on that one. Can we see the board for the rest of the games here? We've got Georgia, Florida. We've got Bucky, you're going Florida. I'm going Georgia. Man, we are going to be – you might pull out a big lead on me or I'm going to catch up. Then we've got UCLA, Washington across the board for everybody. Texas Tech, Oklahoma. You and me have Oklahoma. We all have Oklahoma. USC, Arizona State.
I can't believe you. I cannot believe you. I cannot believe.
Here's the deal.
You love the Trojans.
USC's beat up, and Arizona State has an athletic quarterback that can run.
So you're buying into Ty Graham?
I'm buying into USC not being that good.
You're buying into the guy with a TEDx talk microphone.
7:45 at night.
Come on, it's perfect.
Fork him.
A little tired. I don't know if I'm going to stay up for the end of that one.
Fork him.
Yeah, Sully's with me. He's going Arizona State.
Are you going with Sparky?
Yeah, Sparky. Fork him.
We'll see.
Oh,
yeah, let's
gosh.
Go, baby. Man. Coming off a big dub.
I'll tell you what.
This is the moment.
If SC loses, oof.
The Grizzlies of the moment.
That's a hot seat.
You'll start hearing some buzz there. That will not be good.
Oh, yeah? Chip Kelly?
Oh,
Chip
nah,
Kelly?
I don't know about that. I'm Chip just Kelly? Saying the natives will be restless.
Yep. Chip Kelly coming to SC?
How many days a week can we do this show?
3 days a week.
Why don't you tell the folks about that?
Oh, 3 days a week. Make sure you check out our podcast 3 times a week. Sunday night, we give you the 10 takeaways from the games. And then, look, Tuesday's the audio. Thursday is all video because you're watching us today. So it's everything.
Yeah, NFL.com/MTS video. If you're listening to the show and you want to watch it, you can check it out there. You can also find it on NFL Now. All of our videos, NFL.com/MTS video. As I just mentioned, YouTube.com/NFL. You can find it there as well. Hey, this has been a fun one. Just before we leave, before we sign off here, can I get one more of the laugh? I like the laugh I like. That's it.
The Jerry Helm.
Hashtag Jerry Helm laugh.
Yep.
That's going to do it for us here. Move the Six, presented by the Ford F-Series. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.